flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
They actually watch the game and be rooting for the Penguins to lose. And I've said things before, like, okay, it would make a lot of sense to tank. You know, watching my college football team this year, like, if they lose, it's not the worst thing because they'll probably fire the coach. But I didn't sit and watch the game and root for the team to lose. I could never bring myself to do that as a sports fan. Like, oh man, I hope West Virginia loses to Texas Tech. While it was happening, I thought it's not the worst thing. I'm actually going to root against the Penguins tomorrow. I think the best thing for them is to stink, and it'll hurt me every time they win the rest of the way.
If they thought that was the best thing for them, they would have kept Jari around.
Yes.
So, I don't know if they think the same way, but I can see where you want them to lose and to tank, but I don't think that they're going to. I don't think that their thought process is to do that. I think it's right in the middle, like you were saying before, of playing for the future and also execute the present.
You know what I think they're trying to do? I think they want to lose. They being Kyle Dubas. I think Kyle Dubas wants to lose. Mike Sullivan obviously doesn't. Crosby doesn't. Malkin's hurt. But Malkin, Letang, Crosby, Rust, those guys don't want to lose hockey games. Uh-uh. And no player has ever really wanted to be part of a tank. There's no players or coaches, except for like pre-Mario, that are saying, we need to go out there and give it our best to lose today. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, Brian Flores, when the whole tank for Tua thing, he wanted to win. Coaches want to win. Players want to win. But I think Kyle Dubas wants to lose, but I think he's having a tough time with this here because he doesn't want to be super transparent to the Crosbys, Malkins, Letangs of the world in that fact. Like, I think he's going to have a hard time, just as an example, trading Ricard Raquel because he wants there to be a top six winger for these guys. And so it's not Crosby and Malkin and a bunch of jabronis skating around out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really difficult thing to do.
I wonder what message he's getting from up top. What do you think Fenway's saying right now? About, do you think that they have the sports acumen to think that they should tank? Or it's like, we still need to sell and make money, so...
You're one of the most observant people that I have ever met, Doran Dickerson. And I think you could sense there in me, I almost went in that direction. I don't know the answer to that.
Me neither.
Which is why I didn't go there. I was about to say, I don't know. If they were smart, they shouldn't want to meander around in like half competitiveville. And they're not, I mean, in the standings, they're not competitive right now. But they still have some pretty good players, particularly in the top six and in the top of their defense core. If you're Fenway, you should want to get good as fast as possible. And I think in order to get good as fast as possible, you need to lean into stinking as quickly as you can and try to stay there right now. So Josh Yoey for The Athletic, this just came out this morning. It's what got me thinking about this, Doran. He wrote, and he's, I think, for my money, him and Rossi, the best Penguins insiders out there. He said, Kyle Dubas wants to aggressively sell. He might not entirely get his wish until this summer simply because it's a great unknown whether this will be a busy trade deadline around the league. In recent years, the week between the NHL draft and the July 1st free agency opening has produced the most fireworks around the league. But Dubas prefers to land young NHL players or prospects over draft picks. Make no mistakes, though, the Penguins are still perfectly agreeable to add draft picks. So, Dubas wants to sell. I bet you it won't happen until the summertime.
It won't. Yeah, it's not going to happen now.
Because then you can say to Crosby, hey, we gave you the rest of the year with Raquel. Mm-hmm. We know how you guys got hot down the stretch. Hey, I think Pettersson's going to go because you can't trade him this offseason. He'll be gone. He'll walk away. But Raquel would be the guy. Drew O'Connor, another one rumored. I don't know that they're going to go before the deadline. And I think you're more likely to get a good return now than in the summer. You can get more complex things done in the summertime. I think teams are more desperate now, and you can prey more on desperation.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for it to get done before the deadline. And I would love, because the other thing is, not only could you maybe get a more desperate team, you also are ruining your roster.
Yeah.
Making it thus harder to win. Get a top five draft pick. Accept where you are. Accept that you suck. And I actually think their roster is better than their place in the standings, which calls into question some coaching type things. It's time for the roster to meet the place in the standings to then keep you in that cellar of the standings.
If they sell, and say they sell a little bit now and then more in the summer, does that mean that Sullivan is gone? Or do you want to start this rebuild with him?
I'm fine either way. That's a really weird place to be, isn't it? As a radio host or even as a fan. Like, oh, do you want Sullivan to be gone or you not want him to be gone? My buddy was over. We were watching the championship games last weekend. We had the exact conversation. I don't care. Like, you're going to stink it for my plan either way. I think Mike Sullivan's a great coach. My problem with Sullivan is that I think his message, like it often happens in the NHL, is stale. Well, it ain't going to be stale when all the new players come in because they're not going to have experienced that guy. I am literally okay either way.
Mm-hmm.
Mo Egger, who is a Cincinnati radio host, came on before the Steelers played the Bengals. And he was asked by Donnie Football, what do you think about Zach Taylor? He said, I could take him or leave him. I could take Sully or leave him.
Yeah.
I think you can stink with him. I think you can stink without him. And I think he could win with the right crop of guys. I just don't think he can win with these guys anymore. What about you? I mean, sorry, one last thing. Like, I do think the resume of late, like, if there were accountability, he probably should be let go. So from that standpoint, maybe you do it. But again, one way or the other, it doesn't really move the needle for me. What about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same boat.
Yeah.
You've swayed me to that. I was leaning towards, if you're going to tear it down, let's start it with somebody else that you could build with. You know, a different voice, a different opportunity for a head coach that you can, if you're going to break it down to the studs, you can build it up to the house with a guy that could at the same time be learning and developing on the job and understand the guys that he has. And then by time it's, you know, ready to get going again, he can be ready to roll.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can go either way.
I'm wondering how much, like, has he not evolved with the times, or does he just think he has a faster roster that he does? Like, if you get him the necessary pieces, can you still play that up-tempo game? Has the league passed him by? I think they're all valid questions. I don't have the answer to them. I also am really frustrated by the whole Fenway Sportsbook, Sports Group thing. Like, to go back to your question, like, we feel like we have a bead on Art and on Pirates ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Like, we just refer to this ambiguous being, this Fenway Sports Group. Like, who's even calling the damn shots? Like, does John Henry even pay attention to this? Like,
I just think that they're businessmen. And whenever, you know, you got a bunch of guys that are in suits and you have meetings all the time, if you're Dubis, you're like, hey, we need to tear it down. We need to rebuild. And they're like, well, we're going to lose money if we rebuild. So you're fighting that battle if you're Dubis. And then you obviously have the on-ice product with Sullivan and the players that's like, well, you know, we want to win. I think Dubas is in a very tough spot right now.
Yeah.
Very tough spot of trying to play both games. And that's what it's always going to be, and that's what it was always going to be as soon as Fenway acquired the Penguins. They're businessmen. At the end of the day, they don't care about the intricacies of hockey and dynamics of hockey. They want to make money. So I don't know if they even have that thought process of, hey, in hockey, this sport, you got to tear it down to get back to where you were. I don't even know if they even think that way. Owning a hockey team.
And we're so spoiled because we had Lemieux here, who obviously got it. One of the great players of all time. And so he's going to...
He knew. Yeah.
He was a great business guy. Burkle, great business guy. But he knew hockey.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
If these guys are only looking at it from a business standpoint, though, they have to see what's going on here. Like, the whole keeping the band together thing just to sell tickets while you transition to the next era, they're not selling the tickets.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you would think that they would want to move on. But again, I refer to them as the they, because I have no friggin' idea who we're even talking about.
Now, who else do they own again, Fenway?
Liverpool.
Uh-huh.
And aren't the Red Sox, right?
Red Sox. So maybe over the weekend we'll do a deep dive of if they've ever been in this situation with the other clubs, with the other sports teams, and see how they handled those things.
Yeah, why don't you do that, and then you let me know what you find.
I thought you were going to do that.
Maybe Kalis will just
I thought you were going to do that while you're rooting for the Penguins to lose. It's, you know, you're killing two birds with one stone.
When I said that, you're going to be like, you jackass. No, you're not. You're not freaking...
Right.
Texter, so you're fine with Sullivan but not Tomlin? Here's the difference between those two to me. Both have underachieved. Oh, my God. What time is it?
Yeah, we might as well just take it up 3 more minutes.
I haven't even looked at the clock in like 10 minutes. I'm sorry, Kalis. The 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. I turned full Starkey there. We go full Penguin segment, and it goes forever.
Well, that's my fault, too. I mean, I got to be accountable. I did see the time, and I was just thinking that, hey, we're rolling.
Since you've now admitted your accountability, you should be doing the Fenway Sports Group homework over the weekend.
No, you can do it.
Kalis, let us know what you find out.
I'm very good at delegating.
I got too much to do already. I'm not doing that.
I got to buy a van. Got to take a 4-hour shower.
Sit on the toilet wet.
Do you think I did van research while I was in this booth before I bought it?
Yes.
I think you have, actually.
Yes.
Yes, the reason... I'm not fine with Sullivan. I am just apathetic to Sullivan because I don't look at him as the biggest problem. I think... Hextall screwed it up. I think the end of Rutherford screwed it up. Sullivan's part of the problem. To me, he's not the problem. Like, those guys had a bigger say on roster than Sullivan did, not to say he didn't have input. Mike Tomlin's got more power with the Steelers than Sullivan does with the Penguins. Or at least did whenever stuff was still salvageable.
Does Mike Tomlin have more power with the Steelers than Sidney Crosby does with the Penguins?
Yes.
Think?
Yes. They're similar in that I think both franchises view them bigger than the franchise. Like Mike Tomlin, whether they admit it or not, they now put ahead of the logo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Penguins do the same thing. I just don't think Crosby
has the
he doesn't want to be. Yeah. He's not doing the Myles Garrett thing where he's going into the boardroom and he's going to try to swing it around. You know what I mean?
But whenever it comes down to his guys, I bet you they inquire. I bet you he's a part of those meetings.
It's actually a really good question.
We've never been more out of time in the history of this show.
Well, we'll just take it up.
I think we have taken it up at this point.
Yeah.